I didn't memorize the rest of them. I know them all. Oh, yeah, I've been married to Nancy for 37 years. Like, I always tell people I married up, which I totally did. I kid you not. She's an amazing, amazing woman. We've got three children that are grown, two in Palmer, one in New Zealand. I'm grandfather of six. I had one granddaughter born 2 weeks ago and a grandson born 2 days ago. So that was pretty fun. So in 2 weeks, we went from four to six. My daughter in New Zealand had a little girl after having a little boy 3 years ago, and a daughter in Palmer had a little boy. It's her fourth, and if they have their way, it'll be final. I retired from teaching 3 years ago. I taught 30 years, elementary school. Totally had a good time with it, but I wasn't ready to be done totally, so I've become an interim long-term substitute teacher in rural Alaska. I've done five of them, I think, now. I was up in Shishmaref this fall for 11 weeks. Kids in the schools there know me as Mr. D. I like to hike and ski, and I started wood carving about a year and a half ago, which has been really fun for me to kind of kick up on and do, and it's been good. But when you look through that, what you're not seeing is conference speaker, right? Like, literally, it's not really where I see myself. So if I did a show of hands, and I'd like to, in this room, I'd like your hand up if you have a friend or a family member, okay? Just slip your hand up. Come on, everybody's got a friend or a family member, right? So you look around, and this is kind of my point, right? I'm no expert on boundaries and relationships. And there's nobody in here that has zero experience. You all do, all right? And so what I want to do tonight is not be up here and do this, because it's really not my thing. I want it to go back and forth. I want to make this super interactive because, well, I guess I can show you why, right? I taught for 30 years. If I was going to have a teaching philosophy, that would be it, right? You tell me, I'm bound to forget. If you show me, I might remember. You involve me, I'm going to understand. And so I want this to be something where you guys are involved because you've got background in it just as well as I do. Now, earlier, Jake had you kind of like move around a little bit, and I want to like let him kind of swing out again for this, but I am going to ask you guys to move your chairs, okay? Kind of like that. Groups of like 3 to 8, maybe, and I'm not going to get worried if there's 9. I'm not going to get worried if there's, well, if there's 2, fine, 3. But just, I'd like it to be discussion stuff, okay? So I'd like you guys literally to move your chairs into kind of like groups. If I'm that box in the bottom, so it's kind of facing this way. You don't need to spread way out, but just so you can kind of like see each other and talk, all right? Because really what I want to do is facilitate a discussion. Now, this is not a talk to the hand thing, but I am going to give every group one of these, right? And it just because you're given it doesn't mean you have to run it or that you're like the boss of the group or anything on that line. That's not the point, right? But I'm going to be putting some statements up, and I really would like input from your group. Pretty straightforward, you know, thumb up, you agree with the statement. Thumb down, you don't agree with the statement. Thumb to the side, either you're not sure, or you can't come to consensus within your group, which is okay also. Nice to see you. All right. Every group got a hand, right? Okay, and I made them two-sided, so if you're sitting back there going, I wonder what these guys said, then you can look at theirs and you'll see either down or side or whatever, right? And so it's not really a big secret of who's doing what. But I would like this to be very interactive, not just me, okay? But before we start the thumb thing, well, actually, yeah, we will. Part of what I was thinking about is just kind of kicking on the ideas of boundaries at all. So I'm going to try to sneak in around this thing, and I'll write as, you know, as large as I can, but if you can't totally see this, it's all right. But it's kind of like your chance to kick in right off the bat. So when you think of boundaries, right, like where do we talk about boundaries? I mean, relationships, we get it. But where do we talk about boundaries? What do you think of? What are they for? And this is just talking to me, not within your group necessarily. What are boundaries for? Where do you see boundaries? Where have you ever heard that word before? And I know it's not the first time you've heard it, right? I get it. You guys have got all educations, you've heard the word before. Where do boundaries get used? What's that? All right. Ski areas, right? Certain areas you're supposed to ski, certain areas you're not supposed to ski. True story, the first time my oldest daughter skied downhill, she's just like this, likes to go fast, but she had no idea how to stop. And she ended up stopping in the parking lot next to the cars the first time she went down, right? And managed, but that was an area she should not have gone. All right, ski areas. Where else do we talk about boundaries? All right, land ownership, right? So it comes up there. Where else? Yep, sports, out of bounds. Two more, and I promise I'll stop with this. All right. So parents and kids. Yeah, traffic, right? There are definitely boundaries that are there, and they're in place, and they're in place for a reason. And we realize that they are good things. Merriam-Webster, did I just do that? Oh, Marcus, oh, thank you. All right, defines a boundary this way. Something that indicates or fixes a limit or an extent. And the things that we're talking about, that makes sense, right? Because that's what that is. But when it comes to relationships, sometimes that word boundaries, I don't know, it feels kind of cold. Kind of like put some icicles in the heart, because I think people have some misconceptions about it. All right? So this is where that hand is coming in, okay? Here's the first statement. And it's agree or disagree. And my wife was like, why do you put question marks at the beginning? I was like, I just kind of like them, right? So agree or disagree with the statement. Boundaries are essential in healthy, sustainable relationships. So within your group, you know, just quick discussion, and then like 30 seconds maybe, and then just hold that little hand up, the paper hand up, so I know where you guys are going. All right? All right. No pressure of looking around going like everybody else said, you know, up, right? So just curious, like, and that's good. Somebody within the groups, like, why is that thumb up? Like, why thumb up? I'm seeing thumbs up everywhere. Somebody, like, willing to just take the plunge and, like, start this discussion going because it can't just be me? Why thumbs up? Why do you think they're important? Okay. Because of healthy. All right. Cool. Because of healthy. Somebody else, why would you say yes? I agree with that statement. That boundaries are essential. Okay. So maybe when they're not there, it's not healthy. Right? I think that's a really good point. You know, we're commanded to love each other in the scriptures, right? And we know that. But sometimes the world picture that we get of love kind of seems like, you know, unicorns, fairies, everything's unencumbered, there's magical sugar things going on, and we're just all love and we instantly trust each other, right? We know that's not the case. Boundaries are important. But there's nothing that says that they can't change. If I set a boundary with someone today, it doesn't mean that that boundary is there forever, right? And those boundaries can change. And it shouldn't be thought of as like this constriction, like a limiting factor that's going to be a negative. They do change, and it's important that we talk about them. All right, here's your next statement, right? This one's a little bit, maybe not quite so black and white. Agree or disagree? Boundaries are a way to control others, okay? Within your group. Talking about that. Are boundaries a way to control other people? All right, I'm seeing some. That's good. That's great. That's great. Boundaries are a way to control. All right, let's see those hands. What are you thinking, you know, within your group? No clarification. What's that? Boundaries are a way to control others. Like, take it for what it is, you know? I don't know. All right, so I'm seeing some up. Some sideways. I'm seeing that's a sideways, right? Like this one? Kind of crank that way. I'm seeing some down. All right, cool. That's great. All right, you guys can put your hands down, like your paper hands down. And again, if you've got something to share during this, please, like if God lays something on your heart, just slip your hand up. You know, because again, I'm no expert on this, right? But I'd love to facilitating discussions and keeping things moving. So I'm seeing some of this. Some of this, some of this. Does anybody want to interject? Why this? Go ahead. Yep. Okay, cool. So you guys were a thumb up. Okay, thank you. I'm going to lose track of who's got what. All right, that's great. Yeah, it seems like it could be the headline and subtitles underneath it, right? Somebody else? All right, so you guys were a thumb down. All right, so what's your point, Julia? You're saying you really can't control people. All right, so I don't want to misstate, but I'm going to restate in part for Marcus's sake on the recording, and then just make sure that I'm clear, right? So you were saying it's not, because literally I can't control what you do, right? Like, you are going to make your own choices. I really can't control it. I can put some lines in place. I could put a property fence down, but I can't necessarily keep you from cutting the wires and going through. All right, I understand where you're coming from. Other thoughts on this? All right, I think it's, oh, go ahead, Jake. Sideways. All right. Is it because you have a 5-month-old? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, no, I know. They definitely do, right? Go ahead. It's Katie, right? And some people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. So you would agree that you really cannot control what somebody else is doing. I can set consequences for the behavior, but I really can't control them, right? All right, cool. Like, you know, if you want to know what hand I'd have, I'd be like, no. Because I would tend to agree that we really can't control anybody else. I can try to influence them what they do. I can put that fence up to try to influence them from coming into my property. But unless I'm there 24/7, like, I really can't control whether or not they do. It really kind of comes back down to them. But I think the discussion is good. I think it's really good. All right, here's another one. Agree or disagree? Jesus set boundaries in his relationships. Okay, within your group, again. And then thumb up, thumb down, not so sure, all that sort of thing. Okay, Jesus set boundaries in relationships. Okay, cool. All right, what's the line? I see that hand. Isn't there something like that somewhere? Gotcha, all right. Okay, got it. All right, not so sure, and that's cool. That's great. Okay, I'm just kind of waiting on a couple groups here. So, time to show me the hand, because I get to watch the clock at the same time, right? Andrew group, what are you guys thinking? Joel group, what are you guys thinking? Still kicking it through? Yeah? All right. You know, I think he did. But what I'd like to do is to take a look at some scripture and see if we can find out where. So I'm going to put up 4 different scriptures. This, again, is going to be agree-disagree to this statement that says there is evidence of Jesus implementing boundaries in this passage. Okay, so I'm going to put up 4 different passages, one at a time. I'll read them out loud in case you're having trouble, you know, seeing them, although I think they're pretty big. And then I'd like to have your input. Talk about it within your group. And then, like, do you see him implementing boundaries here, yes or no? Maybe it's yes, maybe it's no, maybe you're not sure. Maybe your group can't decide. It's all good. All right, here we go. First one, Matthew 4, 1 through 10. I'll read it if I get over here. Here we go. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" I mean, a fairly familiar passage, right? So just within your group, I don't know, 60 seconds, whatever, do you see Christ implementing a boundary in that passage? All right, I'm seeing one thumb up, another one. Maybe I shouldn't say which the thumbs are going. I see that hand, that's good. Either way would be good, right? Okay. All right, so overall, I'm seeing thumbs up. I'd be curious, like, where in that passage are you seeing Christ implementing a boundary? Where do you see it? All right. Told him, get out of here, right? I agree. I think that was a boundary. We look at the first part of this. I mean, like, Satan wasn't really asking Christ to do anything overtly sinful. Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself off of here, God will capture you, right? But when he said, worship me, that's where Jesus drew the line. And he flat out told him, no. In fact, get out of here. Okay? I would agree that that was a boundary implemented. Okay, let's take a look at another one. It's Matthew 6, 5 through 8. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. All right, within that, do you see boundaries being implemented? Yes, no, not sure, can't decide. Go ahead within your group, 45, 60 seconds, whatever. And where? Okay. Gotcha. All right. I'm seeing a few up. If I can get the rest of them from you guys. And if you really couldn't get there, that's fine. Thank you. Side to side is fine. Okay. I'm seeing some up, some down, which is great. I love that sort of stuff, right? And some side to side, yeah, there you go, right? So somebody like, you know, willing to like kick it out, like, why do you say yes? Why do you say no? Why are you not sure? Again, I don't have all the answers. Couldn't begin to tell you that I do. What are you seeing there? That looks like a boundary. Or what are you saying? No, there is no boundary there. I also used to be a waiter, so I can wait. I'm good at it, right? Just saying, I used to be a waiter. I did it. All right. What are you saying, yes or no? Go ahead, Chassie. Ah, okay. All right. Cool. I see where you're coming from. So, like, because he's kind of like laying out guidelines, which kind of feels like a boundary, right? And again, don't let me reword. I mean, like, state it incorrectly. I'm making sure I get the point. Okay? Somebody else? Agree. All right. And I see it. For me, I see it. I think in part where I see it, where he says, go ahead and close the door. Get away on your own, right? And I think the point of this for me was like, my relationship with God, my time alone with God is important. It's precious. I need to protect it. And sometimes protecting that means I need to pull away from somebody else who's totally, you know, depending on me for that time to go, look, I need some time. Right? I see the boundary thing here. And then this idea of like, if I'm going to spend time alone with God, I need to exclude somebody else. And I guess I would look at it as a boundary. All right, let's take a look at the next one. We got two more, I think. All right, here we go. This is Matthew 9. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. All right, do you see a boundary? Christ implementing a boundary somewhere within there. And because you have thumbs that go down, the answer might be no, right? Just saying, it's possible. All right, I'm seeing one down. That's great. Another one down. Maybe I shouldn't say, but I am. Well, you guys can see him as well as I can, right? Going like, not a boundary there. Another one down. It's cool. It's great. No way, right? All right, just like 20 seconds, because I got to get you guys out here before midnight. So I'm going to kind of like be this guy that pushes it, right? But I love the discussion. That's the way for me it works. All right, if you haven't had your hand up yet, let me see what you got. And sideways is okay. Like, not that kind of sideways. You can go like this. I mean, like, this is fine. This is fine. This is not sideways. This is like, showing, you know, bugs on the wall. I don't know what you're showing, right? All right. So honestly, for me, like, because I sort of had the cheat sheet and I thought about this longer, I see this. I very much see this. Here's where I see it. The Pharisees are like, what are you doing? Right? They were displeased. Did Christ let that change what he did? No. Right? Like, he wasn't worried about their opinion. And to me, that's a boundary. Because he wasn't going to be controlled by their desires. It's a boundary. It's a line. He's going, look, I'm not worried about what you're saying. I'm not worried about your opinion. I've got something God has asked me to do. You may like it or not, but I'm not changing what I'm doing. So to me, it feels like a boundary. And again, you might be like, no, like you're so far off, right? Anyway, could be. To me, it is. Go ahead, John. Well, standard versus boundary. So I guess, and again, I love this stuff, right? This is what I totally get off on. So what would be the difference, John? Like when you talk a standard, okay, all right. Yeah, got it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear what you're saying. So between the standards and the boundaries, maybe it's, I mean, one could be a bit more preferential as opposed to a biblical mandate or biblical command. Yeah. I think you're talking about more than tomato, though, right? It's not like the same word for like two different words for the same thing. I think you see kind of a line in there, which I think is really good. And I think I understand where you're coming from. All right. Anybody else have any quick thoughts on this one before we like jump to next one? Go ahead. Like a double negative? Well, not all boundaries are meant to be broken. I'm not even sure bad boundaries are meant to be broken. And I hear what you're saying. Let's hold that thought and keep it. I think it's really good, right? Like, was he really just breaking their boundary rather than establishing his own? Correct? Yeah, and again, don't let me misstate it, because I don't want to misstate. Mark? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the letter rather than spirit, right? Go ahead, Jess. Yeah. And kind of moving that boundary. Or correcting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. All right. Right. So respecting to a point their boundaries and what they've set. And again, I just want to make sure I restate this and not like misquote, right? But also, yeah, but I think it's still good, right? But like kind of resetting that boundary to where it should have been. So rather than break theirs, just kind of like restating like where the heart of the matter really is as opposed to the letter of the law, okay? Last one, because I am the clock guy, right? Yeah, yeah. And these boundaries, if you want to look at it, that the Pharisees had, were pretty selfish and pretty controlling, right? And Christ is like, no. Like, he knew, again, he knew what God wanted him to do, what the Father wanted him to do, and decided, I'm not going to let somebody else's opinion of what God's got for me to do, I'm not going to let their opinion sway what I'm going to do. And to me personally, that feels like a boundary. It's like saying, you've only got so far that you can come into my space, including my decisions and my actions. To me, that feels like a boundary line. But it could be like a standard, could be semantics, could be tomato, tomato, who knows, right? All right, here we go, last one. This is also in Matthew, it's 12, 9 through 15. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do it on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out and was completely restored. Wow. It's like back in the 70s in a disco, right? Did I do that? I don't think so. Well, you guys know the story, right? hand was stretched out, and then they're all torqued out, so they decide they're going to kill him. Oh, that one's sort of there. All right, so you guys can go. You got enough of it. You can discuss it. Go ahead. Do you see boundaries within that? Christ implementing boundaries. You know, like, is it okay to heal this guy's hand? And they're like, no, and he just decides to do it anyway. And there we go. We're on that side. Thank you. All right. Gotcha. Got it. All right. Let's see the cards, please. What are you guys thinking? And like, we're just not sure is totally fine, right? Either one's okay. All right. Gotcha. Got it. That's great. All right. So for me, when I look at this one, I see a lot of the last one in it. That, you know, he realized it was good to help this guy out, even though it was the Sabbath. They were all like, no, you shouldn't be helping him on the Sabbath. And he's like, it's a good thing to do. I'm doing it anyway. Your opinion is not going to affect me performing what God has got for me today. The other one that I see in this is like, you know, they're planning on how to kill him, and so he leaves, right? He's just like, okay, I'm out of here. Got himself out of a bad situation. To me, to a point, that is a bit of a boundary. When I look at Christ's life, I think the amazing thing to me is that he wasn't tossed around from one person's need or opinion to another. Like, he had a God-given plan, and he stuck to it no matter what. The questions, the traps, the plans of the religious leaders didn't sway him off course from doing what he knew he was supposed to do. So this is one other way to maybe look at it, is to say that Jesus was not moved by the needs of others. He was moved by his compassion. Now, I showed this one to my daughter, and she's like, I think that's the same thing, right? And it made me think, oh, maybe we should look at this one. So agree or disagree, these are the exact same thing, okay? Are they the same? Gotcha. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Facts and feelings. Yep. Okay. Yep. It does. Totally. So looking at this. Okay. Yeah. I think it's a really, it's a great point, right? Because the whole fact feeling thing can kind of can run together, and they have to go in the right order. I can't just go based on what I feel without looking at the facts. But I can't also just coldly go with the facts and ignore the heart, the feeling part of it, right? So yes, I do. Like, for me, I think these are, and again, I don't have all the answers, right? My opinion, I've got the mic, so I get to do it, subtly different. Because in some ways, I could argue that the Pharisees had needs. They needed their laws kept, they needed this, right? But Christ was not influenced by them, strikingly uninfluenced by people who had like this perceived power, perceived authority, you know, this perceived need that they just needed to be dealt with, right? But when he saw genuine needs in people, in broken people, that's where his compassion was there. And so to me, it's a subtle difference that the needs of other people, it may be a legitimate need, it might just be like, you know, their need for power or whatever, right? But I didn't see Christ moved by that. I think it's his compassion more than the other. But again, it's just kind of my thought on this. All right. Well, moving on. When I think about Christ and his life, I think the whole boundary issue comes down to these two things, identity and humility. Because as I was looking at this, I was thinking, man, if I don't have an identity in myself, like I don't have any idea who I am, I don't need any boundaries. If I have no identity, like people can do whatever they want. It just doesn't really matter, right? But my identity is in Christ, and I do have an identity within me that means I need to kind of like set some boundaries up. But it's also a matter of humility. I think setting boundaries in our lives is a very honest response to the fact that I can't do everything. I can't take care of everything. And so to me, it's like It's a blend, right? It keeps me sober-minded. I mean, I've got limitations physically, emotionally, spiritually, and because of that, I need those boundaries in place. So I think it really comes down to those two things, an identity in Christ, and he knew who he was and what he was supposed to do. So I think the identity and the humility kind of blend together is really the crux of the boundary thing. All right, let's take a look at some benefits. Boundaries allow for self-care. This is Dr. Brené Brown. She's an author, research professor, said daring to set boundaries is about having the courage to love others, even love ourselves, even when we disappoint loving others. You know, and I really appreciate this statement. I really do. You know, we need to love ourselves. I mean, what God makes is good. He speaks over us like, you are good, right? Even though I have this horrible propensity for saying and doing and, I don't know, just doing ugly things, right? But God has made us, and he loves me, and he accepts me, and it's knowing that that then allows me to love myself and then allows me to love others. Boundaries also allow for times of refreshment. Luke 6:12 says, on one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. The reality is we need time to fill up. You know, we need to give ourselves some space and some time to fill up. After we spent our day pouring out at work and school and to family, we just need that time. Because it's in those quiet times, those quiet places, I think, that we can actually rest and find some refreshment. And it could be on my own. It could be with a few friends that can build me up and encourage me. But we need that time. And again, you know, I could might think, well, I'm taking time to myself and being selfish. No, I'm not. I'm being sober-minded. I'm being honest with who I am. You know, mindful. And it's just what is needed. Boundaries allow for singular focus. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. You know, it's just so much wisdom and just staying present-minded, like in the now. Yes, we dream about our future and we set goals and we set plans, but if I miss what's going on right now, then I miss opportunities to bless other people. I miss opportunities to be blessed by others. I miss opportunities to receive a lot of joy from Christ. So having those boundaries can keep me from trying to like run down 50 rabbit holes at once when there's only one that right now Christ wants me to go in, just staying present-minded. And actually, if I set those boundaries, it gives me more opportunities to really pour into somebody else's life at a level that really matters. Rather than just kind of like skipping over the surface of everybody, if I can kind of set that boundary and maybe tell that person no because I need to dive deeper here, it really does give me more opportunities to truly love others. You know, I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, and I have done this for a long time, just asking God in the morning to allow me to be a blessing to somebody else that day. Right? And just trying to be open to that. And it's amazing the opportunities that come up. I can just tell you just one real quick one. There's been lots. I've been working as a long-term sub in different schools. I was up in Shishmaref this fall. And one of the other teachers, her husband is the VPSO. And there's no running water in Shishmaref, so we haul water, you know, to kind of get by on. And it's fine. But I had hauled water for the household I was in. And I was done, and I put everything away, and I went down, walked the beach for a bit. I came back, and I saw this other teacher named Amy coming out of her house. And I said, Amy, how are you doing today? And she just kind of like looked down, and she goes, you know, not great. She said, we don't have water. She's got, you know, four kids. She said, I got to do laundry. She said, like, her husband, Barrett, had worked the night before all night long, and he was just totally wiped out. She said, I'm going to go down to the store, try to get some quarters, and see if I can get Lyndon to haul water for us today. Because it's just, Barrett can't take it, and I've got the kids, I just don't have time, right? You know, and I prayed that morning, like, Lord, let me bless somebody. So I was like, hey, Amy, can I haul water for you? She's like, what? I said, it's a nice day, like, I can go get the truck. Can I just do it for you guys? And she's like, seriously? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. She's so good, can I pay you? And I said, no, I'll just do it. Like, I like being outside, I'll do it. And she started to cry, just teared up, right? And she's like, that would be amazing, right? So she went down, she got the quarters, and she went back. I got the truck, got the quarters from her, and she came out of her house, and she goes, you have no idea the difference that made in our household. Like, for Barrett, it just lifted everything up, right? The spirit in our house is just so much better. And you take those opportunities, and you bring them back to God, right? Which is what I did with her. Just like, look, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. So, yeah, look for those opportunities, but we'll be willing to drop those boundaries as well, okay? I think boundaries allow for a life that's more balanced. And this is a story of Lazarus, and you guys are familiar with it, and I am trying to be mindful of times, of the time as well. But, you know, he knew Lazarus was sick, and yet he waited 2 days. But it wasn't some accidental wait. There was intentionality in what Christ chose to do. And it was that the Father would be glorified, right? And I think for us, we need to do the same. We need to live really intentionally and realize that sometimes we need to create that own balance in our own lives. You know, I just had this quick little thing, and I don't know if I'll actually hit it or not, but I was thinking, gosh, like, sometimes just like a little bit of a reboot is healthy. And so I think sometimes when life seems kind of crazy, maybe just during the day, just take 60 seconds to give yourself a reboot balance and a boundary, right? And basically, in that 60 seconds, just take some time to breathe, like literally breathe, because it's a good thing. Look around and recognize something that's new. Where you are, just like notice something else. You might be in here and going, wow, I didn't realize that there was 43 pleats in the curtains. Like, whatever, right? Take a minute to identify something that you are grateful for and then express that love and gratefulness to God. 60 seconds. I think it can really be kind of a good reboot and give you some space in a day that is just like hectic and frantic to be able to back off and just give yourself some space. And you know, it's really this whole idea of expressing that love and that thankfulness to God. I think there's so much power in that act of thankfulness and thanksgiving. I mean, it is so humbling because it takes my eyes off of me, right? And it's going, Lord, you have provided this. Not just all about all the things that I got done today, but it's like, God, you've allowed this, right? And putting that praise and that thanks right back into the lap of the one who should have it in the first place, I think it's really good. All right, some points to ponder on setting boundaries. One, you want to keep them realistic, right? I think we need to talk about them openly, but sometimes we go into relationships and we expect that other person to totally be our fill. They're going to make the other half of me, make me complete, all those sort of things. But none of us can do that. Like, I can't be my wife's God. She can't be my goddess. She's not my token of completion that makes me full, right? I've got to keep them realistic. And really, that throne of my life is God's place and only his. And so my relationship with my wife, yes, it's good. There's a balance of give and take. It's not always 50-50. And it's not always going to be 50-50 in any relationship. There's going to be seasons that are going to ebb and flow. But it should never hit the point where there's nothing left for the other person to give. Just totally drawn from. So I think those expectations need to be kept realistic. This whole idea of past lives, and I know it's a little bit sacrilegious maybe, but I used a quote from The Lion King, or, you know, the lion says, put your behind in your past. That's not really what I mean, but I just thought it was too fun to pass up, right? But the thing is, like, sometimes we head into a relationship, and somebody else might think that it's their right, their duty, to just, like, open up our past. And they feel like, you know, if we're going to be true friends, then I need to know everything about you, right? I think it's good for us to set a boundary in that of being okay with that not being the truth. I mean, like, it's not like you're a car. You don't have this title and this registration in your back pocket that you can pull out and give to the other person, right? They don't end up with this ownership of you. You don't have tires for them to kick. And even if you have a spare tire, you know, you don't want them kicking that thing, right? It just is what it is. So I think we need to let other people know that, look, like, what I choose to divulge from to you is at my discretion, not yours. And we need to allow that from other people and give them that space. Because that relationship, it's not a therapist's couch, right? It just isn't. So I think we need to make sure that we are comfortable, they're comfortable in opening up about the past, but they should not feel obligated to open that up. Tolerances, I think you need to recognize your own and respect others, because we're all different. Like, our boundaries are not going to be the same. We have different physical pain thresholds. Our emotional pain threshold is the same. There may be things that you just cannot tolerate. Maybe it's being shouted at. Maybe it's being lied to, silenced, mistrusted, whatever. I mean, and if that's the case, then you need to let that other person know. This is a line that it's not going to be good for either one of us to go past this thing. Because it's not loving either to let somebody think that they can mistreat you with no consequences at all. They need to understand those consequences are there. But if they're not willing to listen, sometimes you need to use your actions. You need to just get out of there, right? There's different ways to lay down and to hold those boundaries. But again, you can only control yourself. You can't control others. I think Proverbs really abounds in wisdom as far as just like recognizing when a conversation is not working or we need to kind of cut it short. 14:7 says to leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. 9:7 says, whoever scoffs a scoffer or corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. And then knowing yourself and your own boundaries, making those boundaries clear. I mean, if it's really important to you, there cannot be a lot of ambiguity and gray areas in it. I think choosing when to discuss your boundaries is important. Proverbs talks about a listening ear. And I think we need to be looking for that listening ear. Just because a boundary has gotten crossed, it doesn't mean I should be dealing with this thing right now. Maybe. But if it's got me all angry and worked up, it may not be the best time to deal with it right then. Right? The whole idea of not letting the sun go down on your anger, I don't think it necessarily means like literal. I mean, I guess you could take it literal, but then what do you do if you live in Barrow, right? And the sun doesn't go down for 66 days. What do you do when the sun doesn't come up for 66 days? You just kind of wait it out? And then, I don't know, right? I think the idea is, you know, to deal with them, but also, you know, choose when and where and choose wisely. And we need to allow for some minor infractions. Like, people are imperfect. They make mistakes, right? So not expecting them to be perfect, you know, dealing with it when they cross over a boundary line, and then knowing when and how to be assertive. I mean, if they are crossing a line that you just cannot have crossed, or they're repeatedly crossing some other lines, then you do need to know when and how to assert yourself and restate those boundaries. Oh man, here we go. Some examples of personal boundaries, your right to privacy, I think, is one, and there's different levels of this. I mean, you may share a computer in your home, but your password to your email may be your own, like private, and I think that's okay. Your thoughts, sometimes your journal entries, some of your past, maybe things that you're just going to choose to keep to yourself, and I think you have a right to privacy, and that boundary is fine. The ability to change your mind, you know, your decisions are yours, but sometimes you want to change your mind. And I think when we decide we're going to, we shouldn't be made to feel bad about that. I think we can put that line in the sand, right? I think we need to be sure that the reason that we change our mind is good, based in wisdom and not some knee-jerk. But I think we need to keep that boundary and that ability. And then the need to handle our own negative energy. I think that's something that we need to allow the people in our lives and our relationships to do that. You know, and if they're in a mood that's just not good, like being able to allow them to handle that and work their way through it, and we need to handle it well, but it's important that we let them. And then freedom to express their beliefs. Their beliefs are their own. All right, like I may want everybody to like totally believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course I want that. But their beliefs are their own, and I need to respect that. I've got a buddy of mine, he and I do a lot of camping and hiking. He's not a Christian man. We've talked about the whole plan of salvation, and we were just camping last week, a week before last, and he goes, you know, I don't mind when you talk about your faith, because I never feel like you're trying to shove it down my throat. Right? He's willing to listen. But because I can respect that boundary for him and not have to try to control him and manipulate him, it just works and it keeps that door open. Man. And then some other healthy emotional boundaries. Saying no is a really good boundary to hang on to, right? I mean, sometimes we feel like, I just need to say yes. But if it's going against my principles or disrespecting my time or making me give up something that's important to me, it's okay to say no. It doesn't have to be harsh. But saying no is actually a good thing. Sometimes I start requests with like, hey, no is a great answer, but could you, right? And I totally mean it. I love the word no. I think expecting respect of other people. I mean, we deserve to be talked to lovingly and kindly. And if I feel like someone is speaking to me in unjustified anger or a disrespectful tone, it's really within my right to step out of that. I don't need to stay there and take it. Right? I need to let people know that if they want to have a conversation, it should come from a place of respect. And then this next one is, it's huge. I mean, they all are, but refusing to own other people's issues. And you may have run across this, I know I have, where someone tries to put the blame on me for something. And then when I resist that, they get angry and defensive. And I can feel like, oh my gosh, my choice made them angry. But that's not the point, right? Like, their behavior or their anger is not my fault. And I need to be sure that I let them avoid responsibility by manipulating my emotions. I mean, I can acknowledge their pain, let them know I'm there for them, but assert that I'm not going to accept responsibility for their issues. So I need to discern what is mine and what is theirs, but not own others' people's issues and decisions. And we had a young man in foster care with us for years, 18 years old, and at one point he decided to take drugs into the school, right? And I could have gone into all these things like, oh, if only if I had, if only I had, if only I had. And I just didn't go there, right? That was his decision. And it's not like all these things I could have done, so I didn't need to own his choice. And that was his, not mine. I think sometimes distinguishing, though, between somebody else's stuff and my stuff can be kind of tricky. So I was just kind of curious, like, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, how do you tell what's yours and what is somebody else's? Even though I might think it's mine, like, how do you discern what's mine and what's yours? I don't have any great answer either. I don't know. I think it's, you know, I don't know. When that drug issue came up, I knew that wasn't mine. Yeah, it's good. Other thoughts on that? Like, how do we determine what's mine and what's not mine? So I think sometimes it gets kind of fuzzy. You know, it's kind of like, did I cause that? Was that really my issue? Was that their issue? Finding that line in between. Go ahead. All right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Praying and ask for God for wisdom on it. I think that's good. And looking at his expectations. Thank you. All right. Well, continuing on. Communicating discomfort is a line we've got to hang on to. You know, whether it's physical or some hurtful comment, just being able to articulate that discomfort is a good boundary and help you setting your boundaries. Things like, you know, please don't do that. I'm uncomfortable when you say that word or use that tone, whatever. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything even word line, although I guess to a point it is. I've got a son-in-law, great guy, but he's like 5'6", right? And he and I love to rib each other back and forth, but we've got these boundary lines we don't cross. I never, ever around him make short jokes, ever. I never do. And he never makes bald jokes around me, right? We just kind of like found this line that we just don't cross over. So yeah, it's been there forever and it works well for us. We talked this morning, Hope did this morning, man, I gotta stop hitting that button so hard, about accepting help. There are times that we need help, for sure, but some people are more independent and they find difficulty relying on others in tough times. So I think sometimes if you find yourself in need of help, it's maybe helpful to establish what you do and do not want help with. And especially, I think, as I can speak for myself, I'm like, I'm this fixer like guy, right? Like, I like to go in there and like fix things. And sometimes I was just sharing this morning, my wife doesn't need that. She just needs me to hear out, just to listen, but not to try and step and fix it. So I think, you know, we need to just be aware of that in ourselves and with others, like, and being clear on how much help we need. And I put up there, you know, maybe a pride check on aisle 11, more like a price check, but like a pride check, because I think we also need to understand that asking for help can be a really healthy thing to do, and it's actually a sign of strength, not weakness, which I think sometimes the fear is I'm going to look weak if I need help, but it really is a strength. Asking for space, I think that is also something within a relationship that should be fine. To realize sometimes I just need to be alone, and maybe in some relationships it feels like you never are. And the other person might feel like, hey, you're pushing me away. That is not the point, right? It's really not your intention. But that alone time is really healthy. And it's the key to maintaining your own identity and sorting through your own problems. So establishing up front that that's something that you might need could be helpful, and then allowing other people to do the same. And then this last one, finding your identity outside of the relationship, I think it's really key. I mean, codependency can lead to this melding of identity where I becomes we, and then the you part can get lost in the process, right? But you've got to be able to hang on to that you. You need to be your own person with your own interests, your own passions. I think it's healthy to have a sense of it that is a sense of self that is separate even from your closest friends. And it's equally unhealthy not to. So setting and enforcing boundaries in relationships, I think some guidelines to consider. Find a calm moment. You know, sometimes we don't know what our boundaries are until somebody crosses over and all of a sudden I'm all whacked out and angry, right? That is not the right time to talk about that boundary probably. You know, finding a place when we're both calm and doing okay. But also being assertive, being straightforward about what I need and like the issues that I've got, stating those boundaries clearly and effectively, and telling why it bothers me, I think is really important. But also being loving and not threatening others or speaking out of anger. And for help them to understand that I'm setting that boundary out of love and trust for themselves and for myself. And then to reciprocate, to be open. I mean, I've got my ideas of boundaries I need, that so do they, and they're not necessarily going to be the same, but being open to their boundaries as well. Just modeling that listening and respect. You know, Christ said, do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. It's just a great opportunity to put the golden rule into practice. And then once boundaries are set and established, we talked about in the beginning that they change, right? And here's really the reality, is that people change, and so relationships change. And so boundaries change, and as a result, relationships continue to grow. Like, talking about boundaries, it shouldn't feel like a sign that we're having trouble, right? It should be recognized as actually part of a healthy relationship and something that needs to be there. It's not a sign of trouble. If anything else, it's a sign of a healthy relationship if you can talk about those. And really, it's putting your trust and faith in reality rather than some unbounded fantasy that doesn't really exist. I think sometimes when we put those boundaries down, we might think that we're doing something wrong, especially if the other person is really pushing back. But I think we need to remind ourselves, maybe even write it down, that we are doing nothing wrong. That putting down those healthy boundaries can help keep us from being burned out. Oop, back up one. And this is the last slide for me. This book out of Galatians, I think, is this verse out of Galatians is just so beautiful. So it is no longer Christ. No longer I, but who live, but Christ lives in me, out of Galatians 2:20. You know, that idea of becoming Christ-like, that's that whole sanctification thing that we are working on, right? Becoming more like him. And it's like a diamond. It's got so many different facets to it. But I think among those facets are these. Like, it's becoming more Christ-like includes understanding my limits, that I can't do it all. It involves growing in my strengths, and it involves establishing healthy boundaries.